Hello, welcome to the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones. Thanks for stopping by. Come in, relax while we enjoy some great jazz. Each week we present the music of independent jazz artists, as well as those we've grown to love through the years. And yes, of course, the legends. Today we welcome jazz photographer Lou Jones. We met him at the Middle East restaurant in Cambridge, Mass. For a showing of his work. You may see Lou's photos on his website, photojones.com. FOTOJONES.com. Log on while you listen now to Gil Scott-Heron with Grandma's Hands. Grandma's Hands. Lord, they really come in handy. She said, Bobby White whipped him, boy. What you want to whip him for? He been throwing no apple core. Grandma's Hands.
The way I am and how I came to be.
Welcome to the Jazz Room, Lou Jones.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for coming to this exhibition. And thank you for asking me questions.
Oh, Lou, it's just so much fun to come down here to the Middle East Restaurant in Cambridge, Mass., where you have this wonderful exhibition of your work. And tell us a little bit about some of the people you have photographed, because Lou Jones is his own jazz historian, and his history is his photos, the jazz history. Lou?
Well, it turns out that a friend of mine many, many years ago said that music is the closest thing to heaven. And I didn't really understand what he meant at the time. But I started photographing because I loved jazz above all the other musics that I had learned and sang and performed for many years. I love jazz so much more. And so I started chasing the musicians, the artists that were making this music, thinking that it was a good thing for my photo career, but also by rubbing up against these geniuses, these creative people, some of that might rub off on me. So I started going to the clubs and literally going backstage or chasing them down, stalking them to get their attention to let me photograph them in unusual places, i.e., I didn't photograph them performing on the bandstand. I would get them in my studio. I would get them in backstage, I would get them in their hotel room, etc., etc., to be able to put a real face to the music, to put a face to the instrument, to put a face to the creativity that I was hearing all these years. And that's how I got to these people.
Interesting. Now, I heard you mention a number of artists that you've interviewed, and I was looking at your photos, and I want to start a little easy first. Tell me about your photograph of Gil Scott-Heron.
Well, Gil Scott-Heron was a real outlier, if you think about it. He was a little more mainstream than some of the people I was photographing. He was getting music on the hit parade and things like that. But I loved the fact that he was a poet and that he was really making relevant songs. He was talking to in an era and at a time in which there was a tremendous amount of rebellion, especially by black people, in the way things were being done in the country. And I loved what he was saying. So he was high on my list, and I got him during rehearsal at what was at that time called Paul's Mall, which is a very, very venerable venue for music that used to be really important in Boston. And so I convinced him to let me come in and talk to him while he was rehearsing. And it was really a very loosey-goosey kind of situation because I was literally snapping pictures between him rehearsing with his musicians. So it became this sort of tennis match. He would perform for a while. I would hang out, listen to him perform, which is, can you imagine, he was serenading me. And then he would stop, they would do something, they would prepare things, they would change things, and he had time to be able to talk to me, and then this went back and forth for several hours. And the amazing thing is he was a member of the Last Poets. I don't know if anybody out there knows that group. It's an amazing, amazing early music poetry group of black men that broke ground in so many different ways. And you need to look up the Last Poets. Anyway, they were the predecessors, way predecessors to hip-hop. And amazingly enough, just a few years ago, I met the last of the living Last Poets in Ghana, Africa. He had moved away and moved to Ghana. So I was able to tell my stories to him. It was really, really everything coming full circle.
Here is The Last Poets with Understand What Black Is.
Understand what black is. The source from which all things come. The security blanket for the stars. Understand what black is. It's not a color. It's the basis of all colors. It is not a complexion. It is a reflection of all complexions called human. And out of this blackness, passion flows like a river. Feelings tell the truth. Song and dance and making you laugh are family members. Understand what black is. The breath you breathe, the sweat on your brow, the cheers and the tears balancing the world on your head. Faith is the glue that holds us all together. This is your blackness, not some horror story of lost souls drifting into the land of perversion. Black as love is a light shining on a path leading to the sun, or caressed in the bosom of the moon. Understand what black is. Power you must yield to. A force so strong, we try to sleep it away. They say you must be electric and plugged in to the sockets of the world. Black is humanity. Understand what black is. Understand black. Because black knows, did it before, tested by fire, washed in the waters of life. Black is hot, black is cool, black is wise, and could never be a fool. Understand what black is. Black is a hero, not a villain. Black is the essence, sealed with a kiss. Black is a stone to build our dreams on, a shadow at evening's mist. Big bigger than reality, blending in to the night to let the sun chill and watch the stars dance in rhythm, in music. Understand what black is. Understand black.
I have a postcard here, and it's a picture of Jimmy Heath, because I know the brothers, and I... Can you tell me about this photo, because it is... He's not performing. Let's talk about why you do photos like that.
Well, as I stated in the lecture a little while ago, I was struck by the fact that I knew the music of many of the artists, musicians that I had listened to on record, on radio. I knew their music. But when I went to the venues to see them play, this didn't happen right away, but after I saw once, I remember seeing three or four horn players on the stage at the same time, and I realized that the headliner was one of them, but I had no idea what he looked like. I had grown up in a world in which most photographers photograph musicians in performance. They were always in black and white, and they were always sort of very, very contrasty photographs of black men with silver, shiny, overexposed horns sticking out of their mouths. Well, that didn't allow me to know what they looked like. And I said, this is a problem. I'm here in this place. I know the music, but I don't know what the person looks like. I said, I've got to change that. So that set me off on the way of literally going to many, many, many clubs all over the United States and convincing, stalking, as I have said, the musicians so that when they were not and saying, please let me take your picture, but in a venue that is not performance. And in those days, they were quite amenable. Now the managers and the AR agents and everything get in the way. But in those days, they said, hey, okay. So I was able to get them in very, very nice places, and it became my signature. Not only was I hobnobbing with the musicians whose work I loved, but I was able to take them into a situation where I was able to give them a very real face. And not only just a face, not a selfie like most people would do when they had that situation. I try to make artistic, interesting, comfortable, relevant photographs of them so that they meant something to me years and years later.
Fascinating, because it's so nice to see Jimmy Heath just sitting there looking and being thoughtful. Here is the Jimmy Heath Orchestra with On Green Dolphin Street from the album Really Big on Riverside Records.
Thank you.
Now, you also have a book of your work traveling in Africa. Can you tell us about that book, please?
Well, that, just like I reacted to the typical photographs that I was seeing of jazz musicians, I realized that the photographs that were on the front page of the newspapers that were in the 11 o'clock news were always of, in Africa, were always pictures of kids with flies on their faces. They were always of conflict. They were always of pestilence. They were always of poverty. They were always of negative things. That was on the front page of the news. And I said, I've been to Africa many times, and this is not what I find there. So I realized that this was an intentional post-colonial attitude to make Africa look irredeemable. So I've spent the last several years photographing all over Africa. The idea is to go and photograph every country. There are 54 countries in Africa, to go to and photograph every country thoroughly. Spend a long time photographing the contemporary modern life of Africans so that we could see how much progress and how advanced everything is there, and to give those people who are interested, whether they be schools, companies that are trying to do business in Africa, tourists, a completely different look. If you go onto Google and dial in Dar es Salaam, you get horrific pictures, just horrific pictures. And so we're trying to change that, show what it really looks like. And that's what the project, and we're off to Mozambique in just a few weeks for our, hopefully, 16th new country.
Listen now to Babatunde Olatunji with a recording titled Jingo Loba from his album Drums of Passion.
Come on.
who are some of the musicians that you have photographed that are just your favorite jazz musicians?
Well, the music is really very eclectic, and the music really defines a lot of things to me. The music defines the highest level of creativity in the art world, I think, because music, you have to perform on the downbeat. You can't spend 20 years painting Guernica, which is a wonderful thing. You've got to perform and make something creative literally on the spot. And that's very similar to photography. So I have used the music. I hear the music in the back of my head as I'm taking pictures. So I actually can say that the inspiration is much more than just, oh, I like jazz. It's I hear and have tried to make fashion my career after Miles Davis. And after you hear the story of Charlie Mingus about all the incredibly impossible hurdles he had to get over, paying attention to how he stayed in making wonderful music, the Dizzy Gillespies, and then now up on the walls here in this gallery here, we also can't ignore the local people, people who may not be quite as well known, quite as wealthy, quite as successful in terms of international acclaim, but who are making really, really interesting music. So I have spent a lot of my time chasing people who I walk up and down the streets with, who I've met in the parties, I've met in the clubs, I've met being introduced by people, and finding out what they do, listening to their music, and then trying to translate that into a photograph.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, I know that we're sitting here in the Middle East restaurant, and your photographs are all around us. And you have your book here, and you have your postcards here. And can you tell people, how my audience, how they can find your music, where they can see your photographs, and buy your book?
Well, you can see and get a really good overview of my work at www.photojones, and that's spelled with an F, FOTOJONES.com. You can see a fairly large collection of the jazz work there. You can also go and see my commercial work there, and you can also click on the www.panafricaproject.org, PANAFRICAPROJECT.org, and see the work that we've done over the last few years in Africa. And that's the best way. And then anybody that's interested can certainly email me, and we will show them more.
Well, Lou, there's so much more I'd like to talk to you about, but I have a feeling the band is going to set up soon, and we're going to have to leave this venue. So maybe another time we can get together. Thank you so much for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room.
This is an entirely great pleasure on my part and an honor.
finally, here is Charles Mingus with the title tune from his album, Fables of Phoebus. To the end of another show. Thank you for spending time here with us in the Jazz Room. Learn more about the Jazz Room at my website, joanwatsonjones.com/the Jazz Room. Until next time, you've been in the Jazz Room. I'm your host, Joan Watson Jones.